What a wonderful day that this is as we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. Come on, there's something about that name. Singing out of Songs to Remember, turn to number 12, The Old Rugged Cross. We'll do the first verse and the third verse. When we do the third verse, we're going to go back and pick up the fourth at the chorus. So stay with me. Number 12, The Old Rugged Cross. Come and sing a special song for us at this time.
I like to say it's good to be in God's house this morning.
Amen.
I want to extend my welcome to the visitors that are here.
Amen.
So glad that you've chosen to be with us. And we were asked to sing this song. We've done it from time to time on Easter because it recalls the theme of that's before us that Brother Key's already mentioned here, and that's the crucifixion. So in your mind, if you will, try to imagine that fateful day on Golgotha's hill when our Lord was hanging on the tree. And this song asks a question. It says, were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Him in the tomb. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. From the grave, were you there when he rose up from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there?
Good morning, everybody. This day is about our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection. It really is mainly about the resurrection itself. And I'm thankful that our God did arise from the grave. Without that, we have no salvation. And if he had basically died on the cross and went to the grave and stayed there, he'd been like any other man. But he overcame, as the Bible says, death, hell, and the grave. Thank God he did. Thank God that he did do that. And I'm so thankful that he did all of that. And the way I like to say it is, he did it for me, is what he did. And I think he did it for every one of you. But I especially think he done it for me. Uh, He's a good God. He's a good Savior. And I'm thankful for it this morning. It's good to see everybody. Welcome all of our visitors. We got a lot of visitors with us today. And we thank you for being here today. And I just pray that the Lord will bless you in our service today. I hope God pours inside of your heart a great big spiritual blessing today. I hope he does. I hope he gives you something inside that just bubbles over. You know how that feels when that you get that really good feeling inside and you just are almost to the point of rejoicing. And if you get to the point of rejoicing, go ahead. We believe in that here. We believe in rejoicing. I've been privileged this week to be in service with a lot of good people. I'll put it this way. I heard three different ones tell about being saved. And a lot of times we say something about Do-Re-Mi here because of the academy and our sponsorship of them and us doing for them in so many ways. All three that told about being saved this week talked about being at Do-Re-Mi the week before or weeks before and being coming under conviction. And then maybe got home, I believe it's where two of them said it was, and another one, I'm not sure where they were. I wasn't there when they told about it. But they talked about Do-Re-Mi and hearing about the preaching that goes on there and the singing and such as that. And when they got home, the Lord touched their hearts and they got down and prayed. And they sought the Lord, in other words. And doing that, they were saved by the grace of God. And I'm thankful for that too. This week. Just a lot of good services, a lot of good rejoicing in the Lord. They said, let's start out this week just trying to worship God. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today. He is truly worthy of our worship when you think about everything that has been done for our soul salvation. When Brother Stewart was teaching today, he brought out some points about the crucifixion story that we don't usually talk about. But it is part of a great big story that allows us to be born into the family of God. And we're going to move on right now. It's good to see everybody here today. I hope you've been blessed in this day already, and I hope you get blessed in our service. Brother Sam, are you doing children's church for us today? And we just asked that all the kids, you're coming to this side, I'm guessing, all the kids come right up here. Brother Sam's going to talk to you about Jesus for a little bit.
I never saw as much pink, you know. I think everybody, a lot of people here got the memo, right? That's good. How you doing? So sweet. What are you doing, buddy? All right. I want to talk about hope. Not you. Not you. A couple Sundays ago, Brother Ricky talked about hope. There are two kind of hopes that's mentioned in the Bible. And Paul said on one occasion, if some people, I hope I don't make him mad. Maybe next time. Paul talked about just having the kind of hope that's an assumption. Does everybody know what a wish is? I wish, or I assume, I speculate that something will happen. You know, the salvation that we have is much more than an assumption, because Peter says, y'all heard of the Apostle Peter, right? He said we have a certain kind of hope, and it comes about by the resurrection of our Lord. Is today about the Easter Bunny?
No.
Wow, you're smart, because bunnies can't lay eggs, right? Y'all are, that's right, they lay yummy eggs. And there's not a dad joke in there. I won't do a dad joke today. But bring it back to this. The certain kind of hope that he talked about is a lively hope. Does anybody know what the word lively means? It means it's alive. It has substance. And that lively hope that we have lets us know that we're saved. And we're saved because Jesus rose from the dead. You know, the bunny didn't roll the stone away from the grave, but the Lord did. And I'm glad that we have access to the lively hope, okay? So this is a short thing. This is just a follow-on from what Brother Ricky preached about a few weeks ago. And I hope y'all have a really good Easter Sunday. Y'all got a big lunch planned? No? Mama's not cooking? Are you not cooking for these babies? McDonald's? Okay. You might have beef for lunch? Okay. All right. Well, stand up and say this part of the verse with me, okay? Because I like this about this kind of hope. Say this. I'm glad I have. Come on, say it with some feeling, okay? I'm glad I have. The lively hope. Thank you and good day.
I'm thankful for Brother Sam. I'm thankful for them little ones. I'll say this again. I say this every so often. I love hearing children in church. A lot of people says, well, they may get on somebody's nerves. You want to see a church that's suffering, you see a church that has no children. And I'm thankful for children. And being in our church, I'm thankful that we do the children's church just for them. And I'm just thankful that God blesses us with this great privilege today. We are glad to see each and every one. I meant to tell you, all look really good today. Brother Sam talked about the pink colors. That's good. There's a lot of light blues and light greens too, and you all look good. No comments about the pastor, though. I figured Brother Sam would be looking at me, but he wasn't. We are glad to see each and every one here today. Let's get serious about worshiping God now. I just pray today that we can be about God's business. I want us to remember Brother Lanny. He had his surgery earlier in the week. He's still in Vanderbilt Hospital. He's getting a little better. It's going to take a while with the type of surgery that he had, so keep him in your prayers. I will also mention beforehand, you don't know this man, but he was Paul and I's pastor for several years. I guess probably about 20-some-odd years. But Brother James Gibbs, they had to life flight him other day to St. Thomas, and my understanding, he's doing a lot better, and he'll probably get out of the hospital today, but I would invite your prayers. He's a good old warrior, and he helped me out a lot in my early ministry, and I just hope you'll pray for him. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Anybody else? Let's remember the prayer requests that were mentioned in our Sunday school classes this morning. And let's be prayerful one for another today that God will see fit to come into our service and just bless us in a great way. If nothing else, about remembering Jesus today. And you pray that the Lord will help me if it's His will that I stand today. We'll call on one to lead us in prayer, but we always want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Chad, if you would you start? Go right ahead, Sister Kendra. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Lord bless. Let's do remember the entire family. Somebody else. Brother Chad, would you start us in prayer? Everybody pray in your own
Number 44. Number 44. We'll do the first and last verse. Number 44. What a Savior is mine. Heather, would you come and sing?
I'm going to be singing from page 40 if you want to follow along. Mary came to the tomb of Jesus. She told Then they knew that Jesus.
This will be our last song this morning. Would you stand on this? Because He Lives. Number 132. Number 132. Thank you, Lord, for a risen Savior. One day, I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final pain. But you know where I'm going? I'm going up there where my Lord is. Come on now, it's all because He lives.
Good morning again, everybody. It is good to see Sister Shirley back on the piano today. Sister Shirley is, for you that are visiting with us, Sister Shirley has been down for a little while, and the Lord has brought her back to be with us today at the piano keys. And she was blessed to be able to be here last Sunday, or we was blessed for her to be here last Sunday. And we are glad that she's able to be back up and about with us once again. It is good to see each and every one here today. I hope and pray that you've been blessed today thus far. The singing has been good, and we're blessed with a good number that's here today. And we're just glad you're here. If you're visiting with us today, come back when you get a chance. And if you don't, if you can't come back, especially next Sunday, make sure you pray for us. Each and every Sunday, pray for us. We need it. Anybody that says they do not need the prayers of the saints of God, they're not real smart. I'll just say it that way. We need each other. We're supposed to love one another. And if you love each other like you're supposed to be, you will pray for each other, and you'll have more. Some people would say this is the same thing. You'll not only love, but you'll care. Really care is a little bit different. And I hope we all care about one another, and I hope we can pray. It's good to see each and every one here today. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything before we go any farther in the service? We're going to take a reading lesson today from the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew today. This being Easter, you would think that I was going to preach about the resurrection and the crucifixion. Well, that's not what the Lord gave me. I am somewhat guessing. Next week we will observe the Lord's Supper, and with that being done, maybe the Lord will allow us to preach on the crucifixion or some part about it next Sunday. However, I am going to be preaching about Jesus today. A lot of times we preach about different things. Jesus should be in every sermon, though. But today we're going to spend a little bit more time with Jesus today. 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to start reading with verse 54. And it says, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" That's reading verses 54 through 56 this morning for our reading lesson. If you'll notice, Jesus was basically right back at home. Have you ever went off from where you live for a while and you come back and you just start seeing people? And basically, I'll say it this way. Some of those people you look at and you say, who is them folks? Who is that person? Where do they live? I remember when we came back from Florida and the work there, we came back to our own house and we went back to the school, and there was a lot of new people there. Now, Jesus had not been gone very long when this happened from Galilee, from Nazareth even. He had actually just basically a few months, he had started out up in Capernaum, and then he had went back down to Capernaum, and then, which is not far away, and then he went down to Jerusalem and around Judah. He had preached and healed there. Now, there was a lot of rumors going around, and the word got out of what Jesus was doing. But when he got there, got back to Nazareth, he had started teaching the people at home. And they was kind of asking this question, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus today? And they were looking at it in a way as, we know this man. He's Joseph's son. He's Mary's son. He is brother to these men. He has these sisters. He's grown up with them. How does he have these abilities? Is what they were saying. How is he able to talk like he does? How is he able to do miracles like he does? How does he do all these things? As I said today, I'm going to try to preach to you about Jesus. And this is going to be somewhat elementary in a lot of ways, but we want to remind you today of who Jesus was. We'll get around to some of the things of what we celebrate today, Lord willing. But I want us to look at who Jesus was today. And as I said, this is going to be a little bit elementary today, but I want you to know who Jesus is today. I want to remind you of who he was. A lot of times we get just a few points in our minds and that's all we think about. Sometimes it's good to have those few points of memory as to who Jesus was. It's good for us to get that into our mind. And sometimes we need to go farther. But today, I want us to stay real close. You see, first of all, Jesus was the Son of God. And I'm going to come back to that here in just a moment. But how did he become the Son of God? Have you ever thought about that question? How did Jesus become the Son of God? Now, let me ask you a question. How did you get to be your father's child? You were born to him. How'd you get to be your mother's child? You were born to them. Jesus was born of God, wasn't he? He was. He was not just a man that was born into this world that God chose out. That's what a lot of people believes. They believe that Jesus was just a man that God chose to be his son. But he was much more than that. And I'm not going to get into all of the, we'll say, the birth of Christ. But I want you to see one particular part of it today, because it was the greatest point of all of it. The Bible in the book of Isaiah in the seventh chapter gives you one verse and one prophecy, and this one prophecy that he gives you here tells you more about Jesus and his birth than a lot of people really take into heart. You see what it says here. Isaiah doing the speaking, he said, "Therefore the Lord himself," the Lord being God himself, "give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," is what it says. Now, the part that I want you to see here today, he was not a man that was born just like you and I. You see, each and every one of us, and the reason why I asked you how did you get to be here in this world? Who was your father? Who was your mother? Now, in this part here, yes, there was a mother, but the father was not a human being. It was the Spirit of God. That woman had never been with a man. She was a virgin, and because of that, it was a miraculous birth is what it was. And because it was so miraculous in that day, it brought attention to who Jesus was. You see, remembering the story of the birth, you remember that the angels announced this birth to this particular woman. And when they announced it, the men went to find the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, if you want to call him. Later on, there was men who had been instructed of God to come and see the one that would be king of all kings. And they followed a star, and they were led of God unto a place where that Mary and Joseph and a little bitty baby, as we would call it, were there. And they came in bringing gifts unto them. But their search was for the Son of God. Now, as we look at this today, I want you to remember who this man was. He was not just a man. He was our Savior. He was the one who came into this world for a purpose. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want you to remember especially who Jesus was. He was not just another man. He was not just a man that was born and raised in the area of Israel. He was the Son of God. Now, I want to give you another verse as far as proof of that. And there was an occasion later on. I want you to turn to the first chapter of Mark if you want to turn with us. But you'll remember there was those that questioned about who Jesus was at different times. And they said, by what authority do you do these things? They asked him the question at different times about why he was doing these things and who, just to give a witness of himself. Now, his witness was as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. That was the only sign that he was going to give that was of himself. Now, what it says here in the book of Mark, the first chapter, it was the day that he started his ministry, truthfully. He started his ministry by walking probably about 3 days from Nazareth all the way down to the eastern part of Judah, down to the Jordan River, where a man by the name of John the Baptist was baptizing. And there he came on the scene. Now, when he came on the scene there, John saw this same man, Jesus. To everybody else, he looked just like anybody else. There was nothing glorious about him. He was not prettier or handsomer than anybody else. His clothes were not better than anybody else. If he'd wore a watch, he wouldn't have had the best watch. If he'd had a phone, he wouldn't have had the best phone. What he was a man that was plain. But when John the Baptist saw him, you know what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. How did John know who he was? Now, the scripture says in the book of John, I believe it's in the first chapter, where John said, he that sent me to baptize, he said upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, he is the Son of God. That's what John's testimony was. But listen to what happened this day. Not only did John testify as to who Jesus was, being the Son of God, the Lamb of God, but when that John had baptized him there in the Jordan River, the Bible said Jesus comes straightway up out of the water. And what the Bible says, and lo, the Spirit of God descended. Look, I need to go back and read it. It's what I need to do. If you go down to verse 10, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Remember what John said? And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know why I took my time there? I wanted it to sink into you today. Who was Jesus? Who was this Jesus whom they thought was the carpenter's son? Who was this Jesus that they knew Mary there and his brethren and his sisters who had grew up in front of them? Who was this Jesus that they were looking at? He was the Son of God is who he was. He was born of that great God of Almighty is how he came to be. And he was here for a purpose is what he was. And I'll get to that here in just a moment. But how about this Jesus? How did people identify him? The people there in Nazareth, they said, how is he able to teach like he does? How is he able to do these wonderful works? I want you to go to the second chapter of Acts if you would like to at this moment in time. And I want to give you a verse here that what the scriptures say about Jesus here. And it's verse 22. And it says, ye men of Israel, this was after he died and rose again and gone back to heaven. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, and notice this, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You see, Jesus didn't come in among these people at that day and start telling them, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Messiah, and you've got to believe me. Actually, he did just exactly the opposite of that. He started doing things that got their attention. He did a miracle in Cana. And what it was, he changed, I believe it was barrels of water into wine. And we can get into that another time. But then he went on and he started preaching to them, started teaching to them about the goodness of God. Then when he'd see somebody that needed help, I like the one about the man that was at the pool of Bethesda. And he had been there for years, is the way the scripture said. Long time is the way it said. And the idea was, if you could get into the water when the angel troubled the water, you'd be healed. And he couldn't get there in time. But Jesus just walked up to him and he asked him a simple question. Wilt thou be whole? That was a simple question, wasn't it? In other words, do you want to walk? Just rise up and walk. You know, there was times that he came upon blind people. And he said, what do you want of me? And the man said, that I might be able to see. And he caused him to see. There was people that had withered hands. And he would cause their hands to be whole. There was people that were lepers, and in that disease it was dreaded, and their body parts was falling off, and he cured them of it. You know, there was times that he walked up to others and he just helped them in so many ways. I looked this up. In the book of Acts, it talks about these signs and wonders. Just the miracles alone that are written in the three Gospels, there's 36 different miracles. Going all the way up to feeding 5,000. Oh, really, that wasn't the biggest one, was it? He walked up to a burial group. A young man was laying there on it. He said, he just rose him from the dead. He came to another one later on. Guess what he did? He brought it back to life, a young girl. Later on, he went to Lazarus, his friend, and he'd been dead 4 days. They said, he's stinking already, Lord. They don't need any bothering. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Now, I don't know about you. I got to thinking about this. How many different people around Jerusalem and in the land of Israel, how many of them saw all these miracles? You ever thought about that? I would say just about everybody in the land of Israel, in Judah, had either witnessed or they saw one of these people that God had helped, that he'd fed. And they couldn't understand it. But all of these were signs and wonders to show that he was approved of God. You see, not only was he the Son of God, but God approved of everything that he did. How many of you pleased your daddy every time? I didn't. I got proof on my... But he approved, God approved of what he was doing. You see, Jesus was special in so many ways, is what he was. And because that he was so special unto all of us, he came for a purpose. Go with us, if you would, to the fifth chapter of Hebrews. In this fifth chapter of Hebrews, it makes a statement of Jesus. In verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. He was a son. Who did Jesus have to obey? His father. Hey, remember who his father was? God was. He had to obey his father. Why did Jesus have to obey his father? You see, his father had made a deal with his son that if he would go down to this earth, when us as human beings were so corrupt, so sinful, so much in trouble of sin and just so bitter and so much anguish about us, that he made a deal with his son that if he'd come down and live on this earth like us, being in all points tempted just like we are. How many times have you ever told somebody, you don't know what I'm going through? You know something Jesus does? He went through every point of your temptation, every point of your sorrows, every point of your heartaches. He went through every bit of it, but yet without sin. This verse says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Think about that. All this suffering was because of his obedience. But all of this suffering was so that he could be the author of your salvation. What do you think he meant by being an author of it? Well, the way you know an author is somebody that writes it out. I brought in a book today that I got from a dear friend today, and on the front of that book, it's got his name down there at the bottom of it. He wrote that book. Jesus wrote out your plan of salvation today. He wrote it out for me. He said, Father, I'll go. I'll suffer for them. I'll go through the pains, the troubles, the heartaches that are there. I'll go through all of those things so that you can save them, God. You know, a lot of times we say that wrong. We say, Jesus saved me. God saved us. Jesus done the work that we could be saved. Now, one other point that I want to give you one more time. In that he was author of your salvation, I want you to look at Titus, the second chapter, and look at verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. He said, and purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, I want you to get this first part of this verse, who gave himself for us. That's what he did when he came into this world and lived his life of that. He was perfect in every way. But there was a purpose in that. You see, when God created man and he put him in the Garden of Eden, he gave him one rule. And that was to eat of every tree of the garden except that one tree in the midst of the garden. Was the tree itself actually sinful? No. It wasn't the tree that was sinful. I've heard people say he took a bite of that apple and it was sin to him. The fruit actually wasn't sin. The fruit that was sinful was his disobedience. The fact that he didn't believe God, that when he ate of that fruit, he'd surely die. Because that was the promise of God. When the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. So, if the penalty upon man was for sin was that they die, somebody had to pay the price. That's what it means when he says to redeem. You see, Jesus lived sinless. You see, Jesus lived so perfect that he didn't know anything about sin. He knew all about the temptations. He saw our pain. He saw our agony. But I'm going to ask you something. Did you know what it felt like to get cut until you got cut? Did you know what it felt like to have a broken bone until you had a broken bone? You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, there was a period of time where God put sin on him. He knew no sin. But he put my sin on Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. He put your sin on Jesus. And while he was hanging on there on the cross, he'd already told them. He said, do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels and they would deliver me from this? He could have done that even on the cross. But he had to pay your price, my price, all prices for that. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from our iniquity, our sin, to purify us, to make us clean, not this body, but the soul that's on the inside. He made it clean is what he did. He made it clean forevermore is what he did. All right, I got one more point and I'm going to hush. Preacher said this week, he said, you know what it means when the preacher says in conclusion? It means 15 more minutes. I hope I don't do you that way. Back up a verse. I ain't going to make you run far this time. There's one thing that we need to remember about Jesus today. You'll find it in this 13th verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? He's already been here once, right? But what Jesus told us was, if I go away, I'm coming again. When Jesus came out of that grave, he came out overcoming death, hell, and the grave. If you go look, and I believe it's the 15th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it talks about the resurrection and how that many said there's no resurrection. But he said when Jesus came out of the grave, that meant a resurrection for us. In Romans, Paul called it, he was the first fruits of the resurrection, the first one to do it. So if there's a first one to do it, guess what? There's a second one that's coming to do it for us. You see, there's coming a day when Jesus will come once again. And when he comes again, you know what he's going to do? He's going to collect us all. All of his saints. He's going to bring them out of the grave. He's going to bring the ones that are upon the earth. And we're going to meet him in the air, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians. We're going to be caught up to be with him in the air, to ever be with the Lord. Think about that today. That's who Jesus is. Because he not only came to save your soul, but he also came to do what? To take you unto him. That's what he came to do. I thank you for your attention, brothers. That's going to be our message today. I know it's not really about the crucifixion and the resurrection, but it's in there. It's there. It's coming. I want you to know who exactly Jesus is today. He is the Son of God who came into this world, did many signs and wonders that showed who he was, but yet they crucified him on a cross. They put him in a grave, and because they put him in the grave, it couldn't hold him, and he came forth out of that grave triumphant over sin. But he's coming again while we stand and sing. If you're here today and you're lost, and you know within your heart that you need the Lord, come and seek him today before it's too late. While we stand and sing.
256. Number 256.